Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, we're just talking about the national anthem and how some people choose not to sing it and others give a full-throated rendition at every opportunity, which is lovely. And there's sort of a similar situation going with kids. Some kids are still respectful, some kids still are well-behaved in class, etc., and there's another ever-growing component in classes now of kids that just refuse to toe the line. Why? Oh, I'm rebelling. Oh, why should I? And who the hell are you? You're just the teacher. You're there. You've just become the modern-day target of us kids. And do you know what teachers are doing? They're saying, I've had a gutful of this. I'm out of here. So we've got this growing shortage of teachers prepared to suffer the indignity of having the most appalling names being headed their way, the physical sometimes attacks as well, including on females. It's just awful. Most people choose to shut up about it. But you know, Paul Williams, we often talk with Dr. Paul Williams on matters political. But he had the courage to actually come out the other day, Friday I think it was, in the Courier Mail and say, listen, we've got a real issue with these bullies in the classrooms. We've got to find a way to hold their parents accountable fundamentally. He said, sadly, 2023 last year, an international survey of 700,000 students and teachers found Australian classrooms were among the most disruptive in the world, ranking 71st from 81. We're nearly at the bottom of the pile, seriously. 71 out of 81 nations surveyed. One in three Australian students freely admitted they do not listen to the teacher in lessons. Can you believe that? One in three just tune out. 40% also said there was noise and disorder during maths class. All or most of the time, a finding supported by a third of all teachers who say they had to wait a long time for students to settle down. Hark back to your school days. Can you imagine this? One kid even playing up and they've got the whole bloody classroom playing up. Because no one, as it was getting worse and worse, had the spine to step in and say, hey, Australia, we've got a challenge here. We've got a crisis emerging. Now, in 2022, the survey found Australia ranked, oh, listen to this, we came 75th out of 80 countries in terms of bullying. We were one of the worst in the world. A quarter of all kids reported being bullied at least a few times a month. Imagine the impact on these kids as they're growing up. They're growing up terrified and the impact it would have on them long term. Anyway, it goes on to say, well, East Asian countries, they've got very well-behaved classrooms. They just don't tolerate this crap. The United States, despite what we see in films about the United States, they're the 15th best-behaved students in the world and we come nearly 80th. So even the United Kingdom came in at 28th. I mean, we've got an appalling reputation in our classrooms. And who's paying the penalty? The poor bloody teachers. And then they've got these wacko parents turning up after school saying, how dare you? How dare you remonstrate with my little darling? Seriously, no wonder they're walking out of class. Anyway, I'm glad that Paul spoke out about it and effectively. He's got a huge audience. He's the Associate Professor in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University. Paul Williams, good morning.
G'day, John.
Interesting. You were once a primary school teacher or a teacher at school. Tell me about those years. That's a few years ago.
Yes, indeed. I was a primary school teacher in the late 80s up until the mid-90s. Mm. And I did enjoy it for the most part.
Yes.
Like a lot of teachers, I burnt out pretty quickly. Because it's a very demanding job. Of all the jobs that I've had in my life, it's probably the most physically and mentally tiring and demanding. You know, it's really tough being a teacher. I used to cop a lot of flack from non-teacher friends saying, oh, but you get all those holidays every year and you only work 9 to 3.
Yes.
Well, of course, that's nonsense. You know, I work every night preparing lessons for the next day. You work on weekends.
Yeah.
You go to professional development staff days during your holidays. It's a tough job and you've got to walk on eggshells for the kids so you don't hurt their feelings and then you don't hurt the parents' feelings and then you've got to do what the boss tells you to do. It's one of the most challenging jobs I've ever had. I did enjoy it greatly, but in the end, quite apart from the fact that I was interested in political science and wanted to pursue further research there and become an academic, but even colleagues then, and that was back in the mid-90s, were saying the bureaucracy was becoming burdensome, we were being micromanaged, And I've talked to colleagues since, old friends who've been in the system, and it's only gotten, obviously in the past 30 years, it's gotten a lot worse. Mm. So it is the noblest of professions. It's a wonderful calling. I do encourage people to consider teaching as a career. Mm. But there are so many hurdles that are thrown in our way that are preventing good teachers from just delivering good lessons. You know, that's what it boils down to. If you have a good, as we've often said, one pen, one book, one teacher, one student can change the world. So we need to get out of teachers' way of teaching, just delivering good lessons. And that includes parents getting on board, governments getting on board, principals getting on board, helping teachers just do the one thing that they're paid to do, teach.
Yeah, when you were teaching back in the 80s, 90s, whatever, there would have been bad behaviour emerging. But look at it now. Look at the thuggery now. Look at the physical attacks on teachers. Imagine female teachers. I talked to one the other day that copped the most dreadful physical attack up in the Tablelands. And nothing done. You go to the principal. Oh yes, well you should have talked to me earlier about this issue emerging, etc., etc. There was little support from her, from the principal of the school. Can I just ask you too, though, with this juvenile crime wave we've got, I'm thinking, gee, what's happening with young people now? The crime rate amongst children, and these are 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 year olds. They're stealing cars now, 12 and 13. This has all just emerged in fairly recent times. So it's not just in the classroom, it's throughout society. What on earth has gone wrong, Paul?
Yeah, look, that's the golden question, isn't it, John? Look, I'm not a sociologist, and so I can only offer an opinion. And my opinion is that we've seen a cultural shift in recent decades. And we often talk about the Me Too culture. Not so much Me Too, sorry, that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say Me First culture is what I'm trying to say. Yes. Me First. So there's this sense of, the old Australian sense of community, I've had my turn, now it's your turn, a fair go, let's share. That seems to have gone by the wayside in recent decades. It's very much about me first. And I would go even further. I've seen, worse than me first. I've seen me only. Mm. We've got this downward envy that I'm having it and you can't have any. Mm. So those kids, I think for all sorts of reasons, it could be a function of economic rationalism we saw in the 1980s and 90s, the downsizing of governments and the economic competition that, dog-eat-dog world that we live in and economically, those kids that live through that are now parents and they're raising their own kids, and I think that they're raising their kids also to be a me first generation. Yeah. And so there's a real sense of do it to you, get it before someone else takes it. Mm. And do it to the other guy before they do it to you. And I think it's underscored and made much worse in the last 10 or 12 years by social media, of course. That's the elephant in the room.
Isn't it?
And which we know, social media exacerbates crime. It just doesn't, because these a lot of these young people who are looking for strong role models, they're not getting strong role models at home in terms of parents. They're looking for role models in their peer groups. And we know that long sociology, going back to the 1950s, sociological studies have shown that young people, particularly young males who don't have strong father figures in their life, will join gangs because they look for father figures in gangs, in gang leaders. And they're looking for peer approval. How do you get instant peer approval? You commit a crime or you commit some other misdemeanor and you post it online, you get likes and impressions. So there's no doubt social media has underscored this need for immediate peer approval, not for doing something that's hard, like getting a job and getting an education and earning money, but for doing something quick and easy, like stealing a car. So it's a whole range of things. We can't blame social media. I think social media is more a symptom, but there really has been a cultural shift, and the parental or lack of parenting, it's got a lot to do with it in the last few decades.
Isn't it interesting, because we consider ourselves in so many ways one of the leaders in many aspects of quality upbringing in the world. We have good jobs available, education, when you get a degree or whatever, you're going to get a good job, etc. We're coming almost last out of 80 nations, even though the structure should point to a young person who's got parents that actually send them all the way through or go and get them good apprenticeships or whatever, you're going to get good outcomes. But why are we at the bottom of the pile out of 80 countries in the world? This is what I can't understand, when we had the world at our feet just, 50 or 60 or 70 years ago.
Yeah, again, John, it's really, I don't think anyone's got the single answer. Everyone's got an opinion, but I don't think anyone's got a single answer, for a surefire solution. Otherwise, we would have solved it by now because, you know, as I've written in the Career Mail about this before, we talk about, you know, declining NAPLAN standards. And again, it's patchy. Some NAPLAN standards are going up. We must remind ourselves that some NAPLAN scores are going up, but others are going down. So, for example, you know, reading among grade 9 boys is not flash.
Yeah,
it's pretty woeful. And then, but you look at Australia and the PISA ratings. The PISA ratings are like international NAPLAN. Australia's falling in international PISA ratings, particularly in things like maths and science. And that's cause for alarm. Wow. And we're being beaten by countries that we would have thought were developing countries that shouldn't be beating us.
Yes.
So, you know, Australia's a first world nation. We throw, at state and federal level, we throw tens of billions of dollars at education every year. You know, we've got great, obviously we haven't got the fastest internet in the world, but we've got saturated internet coverage. We've got a wealth of resources. We got council libraries everywhere. We're an engaged country. We have plenty of media. We've got a free press. You'd think that we would be responding in kind with good educational outcomes,
exactly.
But we're not.
Exactly.
And again, it's very quick to blame. We see people blame teachers. Of course, it's not. You know, teachers would be, you know, the last people to blame really in this because they don't write curriculum. And they certainly don't write policies around, you know, how classrooms are managed. But I think a lot of it does come to, there's a cultural shift. So it's got a lot to do with, again, social media. It's got a lot to do with consumer culture. You know, a lot of kids are more obsessed with what kind of shoes they wear than what kind of job they're going to get. And indeed, you know, the English comedian Ricky Gervais talks about this in his comedy acts. Even more than a decade, he talked about a survey among young British people, and that, you know, among thousands of British people, they were asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?"
Yes,
and the number one response was to be famous. not a famous singer, not a famous cricketer, not a famous footballer, not a famous actor, but just to be famous.
Yes.
In other words, to be a content provider, to be on TikTok or something. So if those sorts of vague, unrealistic aspirations.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to direct children and young people on the right path. So it's a cultural shift that we've seen, and cultural shifts take a long time to reverse. And so, you know, look how long it took to reverse the smoking culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Look how long it took to reverse the drinking, don't drink and drive culture, and so on. So, look, government advertising about treat teachers with respect is good. It's a good place to start. But governments, as I said in the article, governments need to start formalising this, and they need to bring parents to the school and say, look, this is a formal engagement. This is a contract. This is a social contract. Your child goes to this school. They get it for free.
Yeah.
Therefore, there's an obligation. You parents you sign up to send your child to school. It's a relationship between the school, the teacher, the child, and most importantly, the parent. And we're going to all work together to develop this. And if one of us drops the ball and breaks that contract, there will be consequences.
It's just common sense, isn't it? Look, I really appreciate the fact that you're banging the drum so loud on this particular matter. More power to you, and I just hope now that political representatives, obviously you've got it out there in the media and in the newspapers, hopefully more of our political representatives will embrace what you're saying and its urgency. Thank you, Paul.
Pleasure. And I hope just, you know, again, the incoming LNP government, I hope that they pay attention because this is a major cry. Talk to any teacher and it is a major problem.
Yep. Very well said. Thanks, Paul. That's Dr. Paul Williams, Associate Professor in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University.